Calling
is there
Christians
to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, What is the Value of the Kingdom of God?
Grace, mercy, and peace with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Last week we talked about the joy of the Lord and how the joy of the Lord is our strength. Isn't that great that the Lord gives us joy? He wants us to have joyful lives. We read in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always, says Paul. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice always. And that doesn't mean, by the way, as we said last week, that we don't have negative emotions or have a bad day and feel down at times. We all do. We all experience that. That doesn't mean you're always happy. But it does mean that as the theme of our lives, God wants us to have joy because he is a God of joy. A joy that's like a deep spring in the wilderness, that whether you're in good times or even in the bad, whether you're in abundant rain or in times of drought, that there is this welling up of a spring of joy that is your theme as Christians because he's a God of joy and wants his people to rejoice and be joyful. So we talked about that last week, but today I'd like to talk with you about how to do that. Is there a special instruction that God has given us to have joy in our lives? Is there a particular way that we can employ and go after, even in troubled times, that joy might rise within us? Is there even perhaps a secret weapon, in a sense, or a secret power that we can avail ourselves of, that we can have joy rise even in troubled times? Well, the answer to that is yes. The question is, what is it? And to discover that, let's discover that right at the start of the sermon. This is Psalm 100. I think we're going to find it right here in these verses from the Lord. Psalm 100 says this, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is good. It's he that made us. We are his. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. So in those words we hear, a joyful noise is what God is after. Entering in his presence with singing and gladness. But what accompanies those things? All that joy is?
Thanks.
Thank you, Marcia. A grateful heart goes along with joy. And this is an interesting, amazing thing about the power of a grateful heart, is that you can, like it says in these verses, have joy and then give thanks. Or you can also do it this way. It works both ways. You can give thanks and then have joy. Because these two things, joy and a grateful heart, go together like brothers. Wherever one is, the other is found too. So if you are seeking joy today, you can give joyful thanks to God for the joy you have. Or if you don't have any joy today, you can start being grateful to God, giving him praise, and joy will accompany that and rise in your hearts as well. Does that make sense? So you can feel grateful, or you can have something great happen to you and feel grateful, or you can feel grateful and then feel great praising the Lord. So there's power in the praise of God. So to whom should we give thanks according to these verses? Now certainly we should be grateful towards one another too, right? That's very helpful in our relationships. But especially here in these verses of Psalm 100, notice what it says here again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, right? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. So where are you going to find joy as God's people? Rising in your hearts is through giving grateful praise to God, especially directing it towards our God, our Creator, our Savior. So why should we give thanks to God, be grateful in his direction, is found actually in the very next line. I shouldn't keep closing the Bible because I keep opening it. The very next line after giving thanks and blessing his name, it says, why? For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Why should we give thanks to God? Because he is good. Has he been good to you, even in your troubled times? What do you say, amen?
Amen.
Think about how good he's been. In James chapter 1, it says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, coming down from him, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Paul says in Acts 17, verse 25, God is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. So I want you all to breathe in right now. Nice deep breath. Do you know that air came from God? Okay, hold your breath. Keep holding it. No, not really. Why? Because you'll expire. It feels painful to receive all these blessings from God of air. What we want to do is exhale those back to God with praise and gratefulness. Thank you for the air you gave. If you or I don't give grateful return of thanks to God, it's as if God has given you all this breath to breathe, this air, and you're holding your breath and creating pain for yourself. God says, no, let it fly back to me with a grateful heart, with praise and thanks, and it's going to have joy all around. You're going to feel great. It's really that way it works. And we should give thanks to God. Why? Because, frankly, he gives us everything, Paul says right there. Everything you have, every good thing that you have, comes from the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord due to his righteousness, says David in Psalm 7. I'll sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. It is right. It is his due. It's what we owe to give to him for all the great good things he's given to us. Do you do that, though? Well, let's try it and consider what kinds of things can we give thanks to God for this morning, if you're wondering what we could thank him for. Well, Martin Luther directed us to the Apostles' Creed. Remember that one? We say it every week, basically. And Luther says, give thanks to God, first to the Father, the first article of the Creed. He says, you can say something like this: God, I am grateful to you that you created me, and I'm alive, and you created all the creatures. You, God, I'm so grateful that you give to me my life, my house, my home, my wife, my children, my property, my goods, my food, my drink, the shoes on my feet, the ring on my hands. You daily enrich me, give me all things I need to support my body, my life. You protect me, God, from all danger. I'm so grateful that you're guarding and preserving me from all evil. And all this you're doing, I'm so grateful. It's out of a pure, divine, fatherly goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for which I owe it to you, Father, always to thank, praise, serve, and obey you. This is most certainly true. Now, when I just said those things, did some joy rise in your heart? If you give joy to God for those things, it should. Secondly, to Jesus Christ for all that Jesus did for us. God, I'm so grateful for you that after having created me and when I fell into sin, you sent Jesus to be with me. True God and also true man, to be my Lord, to save and redeem me, a lost and condemned sinner. You've purchased and won me from all of my sins, from death and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with your own precious body and blood. Thank you, Lord. So grateful for that pure shed blood of our Lord and Savior, that he's redeemed me that I might live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, blessedness, innocence, and peace, even as he's risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. I'm so grateful for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Does that feel a little bit better for you? in your kind of difficult week? How about if we say, God, I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit as well? Because even if God created me and Jesus saved me, it wouldn't do any good unless the Holy Spirit came and gave me the power to believe in Jesus. He brought Jesus to me and his cross and his salvation, that I might then enter into him and be redeemed and receive that salvation. And the Holy Spirit is daily and richly, I'm so grateful, forgiving me and the sins of all believers, and at the last day will give to me eternal life and raise me from the dead. I'm so grateful for a great future in the Holy Spirit. Does that sound good? Does that feel good to you? What if you said that for a little bit longer and kept on going? I'm so grateful for this. I'm so thankful for that and for every blessing in this life. You know, the attitude of gratitude is actually key, because when you give thanks, that goes along with joy. Joy will follow the thanks. Or you can have joy and the thanks will follow the joy. It works both ways. So don't wait to feel great to be grateful. Be grateful first and you'll feel great, because joy and thanksgiving all go together. The attitude of gratitude actually fills our hearts with joy. And that's God's will for us. What's the problem with that, though? This is so simple, right? This is like a secret weapon we could be using every day to have joy rise in us. What's the problem? We don't do it, right? Don't you agree with this message that, yeah, I should give thanks, that's good. And gratitude is a good thing for a Christian to have. Yes, of course. And yet, how often do we show gratitude towards God? I'd say hardly ever, right? I forget it all the time, too. Shame on me. The result of little gratitude is little joy. This is very powerful, friends. Therefore, we are dark in our mood instead of light. We are fearful instead of confident. We're worried instead of peaceful. We are depressed instead of happy. Why? Because we're not giving thanks to God and being continually, all the time, grateful. If you were grateful all the time, like I tried this week, I said, this day, I'm going to just say, I'm grateful. I'm going to start almost every sentence with, I'm grateful, God, for such and such. And I kept saying that with Beth. I'm just grateful I have you here today, Beth. I'm grateful that you just got me that, did my toothbrush for me, whatever it is. And the more we did that, the greater our relationship was, the happier we felt, the greater I felt through the day. I went sailing yesterday. There's this huge towering cloud and this lightning passing happily to the south of me. But I remember sailing and taking the sail down because a heavy wind was coming, and I looked up and I saw that mountainous cloud over, and I said, I'm so grateful, God, for that cloud. Yeah. Instead of, oh my goodness, look at that cloud, Lord. I'm in dread and fear. You see, gratitude is going to completely change your heart if you put it into practice. But the problem is we don't do it. Very rarely, at least. We maybe say, oh, thank you, God, for this or that at the beginning of our prayer, and we go on, or we forget entirely. So you wonder why you're feeling down, dark, gloomy. There's no brightness because there's no gratitude. If you just employ this, this is God's will for us. Let's read that. God says, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God commands it. He wants this for us for a lot of reasons. But if we don't do it, we're just like those 10 lepers, or the 9 of them anyway, that Jesus healed. Remember that? He healed those 10 leopards? Lepers. Not leopards, but lepers. Go and show yourselves to the priest. They all went. They were all cleansed. The 9 continued on, but only one returned and ran back to Jesus with a loud voice, praising him and giving him thanks. And of all the 10, that was the only one that got the best joy and the best blessing and gave Jesus joy, and Jesus had joy over him. He says, go your way, your faith has saved you. It's made you well. So, do you want to have little joy? Then have little gratitude. But if you want your joy to be full, be like that one guy who couldn't help but to run back and praise Jesus with a loud voice, He had the greater joy, the greater blessing, and the greater everything for the gratefulness. Hear again that this is God's will for you, okay? And for me. Colossians 2, Paul says this is how, you know, we were saved. And then he says you were rooted and built up in Jesus, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That's God's will for us. Never stop. Constantly say, I'm grateful for this, God. I'm so thankful to you for this, God. I'm so happy and praise you for that, God. This and that blessing, even in your troubles. And watch the joy rise. So, why should we, or how can I encourage us to do this more? Because I fail at this all the time too, frankly. Well, number one, know it's his will for you. It's his command. It's his due. It's the right thing to give him. That's good. Secondly, know this, that you can actually give joy to God the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, when you are grateful to him. Did you know that? You can actually give something to God? Because really, there's nothing we can give to God. He owns everything, right? What's the one thing he doesn't have is a grateful thank you from humanity. If you're a gift giver, and you joyfully prepare and give a gift to somebody at great cost to yourself, you already have joy. Amen?
Yeah.
And then when that person receives that gift from you with joy, that gives you more joy, right?
Yeah.
And then when that person then continually comes back to you and gives you joyful thanks, I love not just the gift, but you for giving the gift to me, that just increases the joy of the gift giver all the more.
Yeah.
So if you want to give joy to God, you can do that by a grateful heart. You can actually give God and increase his joy. That should motivate us. And what is faith after all? Faith in Jesus, faith in the gospel. God says, I have given you everything in Jesus. Not only every blessing of this life, but salvation and the future world to come of glory. All these freely as a gift. It's my joy to give it to you. What is faith receiving Jesus, but simply saying, thank you. I receive it with joy. Praise God for Jesus. And that gives God so much joy. But woe to the world for its ungratefulness. What an insult to God that he has given all this to the world and the world rejects it. But what great glory to you that God joyfully gave you all things in Christ. You've joyfully received it, which has increased his joy. And then continually praising him for Jesus and for that great salvation gives him joy exceedingly, going up like that rocket this morning that fired off from NASA a few moments ago. So number one, I encourage you that it's God's command. It's for your good. It's for our good. Secondly, it's going to increase God's joy. And thirdly, God says it's going to change you immensely as well. It's going to change and give you joy in your own hearts exceedingly. Changing your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Why is this so important? Because frankly, we're humans and we're fallen. We have a sinful nature, and pretty much most everybody we meet, including ourselves as saved people, focus on the negative, right? This is what's missing in my life, God. This is what's wrong today. This is the pain of my body that hurts. This is what's terrifying me. This is what's terrible in the world. This is what's troubling me today. This is why I'm so fearful, guilty, worrying, troubled, and these are my dark moods. Okay, we all experience that. But what gratefulness does is the attitude of gratitude then helps us, God, the Spirit working in us as we give grace and gratefulness, helps us see the good that's all around us. Let me, for example, raise up this picture here. What's this a picture of?
Rose.
You say a rose. Most of the world's going to look at this picture and say, look at all those thorns on that rose bush. Isn't it a terrible picture? All that terrible, that's the world complaining. All those thorns. What is the cheerful person of gratitude say? Despite all these thorns, look at that rose. I'm so thankful for that, God. Well, which one do you look at? Very important, the ungrateful person of complaint is going to focus on the thorns. God says, yeah, acknowledge those, but focus on the rose, that there is something good you can give praise for about me. And if you do that and do it continually, your fear literally will turn into confidence. Your worry is going to turn into peace. Your darkness and mood is going to turn into something bright. And your fear, again, will turn into confidence. Your depression can turn into and will into happiness. I've tried it if you do it. The problem is we only say thank you once or twice and we figure we completed our job. What I'm saying to you is it should be like every sentence of your day until it is your go-to default automatic setting that no matter what happens in good times and trouble, you say, God, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for that. I praise you for this. I'm so grateful for this and that in my life. And the Spirit will work joy in your heart through that. Can I give you a human example? Am I just speaking up here like a philosopher or something? Some modern psychologist? Or is this not scripture? Well, let me give you the example of many I could use, but let's look at Paul and Silas. Remember Acts 16? They're in prison. What a bad day they were having. What thorns, Lord. They were beaten up to a pulp on the street, arrested unjustly, cast into a dank, drizzly, terrible cell. Their feet were wounded in the stocks. They were in a foreign land, cast into imprisonment. And what were they found doing at midnight?
Singing.
We read Acts 16:25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is the Savior. We get to suffer dishonor for the name. We are so grateful for that. How good you are to us, Lord, to be faithful, to be with us in the cell. Your steadfast love is new to us. Your mercies are new to us every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We're so grateful, God, that you're with us here. And the prisoners were listening. You think that changed their experience in their heart? They could have done like most of us would do. Oh, the thorns, this is terrible. I heard this is terrible. I'm suffering. I'm alone. I'm so afraid. No. Gratefulness changed their hearts, and it also changed God's too. Well, it didn't change it, but it inspired God to act with great joyful power to come speedily to deliver them. For we read, God was so moved, whatever the next verse says, that he suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's iron fetters were unfastened. That's joy too, right? There's joy going everywhere. Joy before the answer, joy in the answer, joy in God, joy in the prisoners, joy in the jailer, because then he got saved. He came to Christ that very night, and all of his family got joy. They were saved. Paul and Silas had joy in the salvation of the jailer. All the prisoners probably had joy. Every church member who's heard the story has had joy ever since, down for the centuries. God had joy. There's joy everywhere, which came out of a grateful heart. Are you with me? So, gratitude brings joy. It cannot be otherwise. It drives away fears. It drives away doubt. It drives away a downcast spirit and depression, even in a jail cell. The attitude of gratitude that they had, praising God. So let me ask, how about you? What are you going to take away from this message? Well, you could say, nice message, I'm going on my way. Or maybe you could say, well, tonight I'm going to give thanks on one sentence at the end of my prayers. Help a little. Or you could say, hey, I'm going to take a challenge, and for all day, today and tomorrow, and with the help of my spouse or my friends or whatever, I'm going to start every sentence with, God, I'm so grateful for you for about that. I'm so grateful to you about this. I'm so grateful for that. If you take that to the good times and to every trouble that hits you, like Paul and Silas, you're going to say, I'm so grateful for these fetters. I'm so grateful for these chains. I'm so grateful that we're right here and you're with us. Then you're going to completely be a new people. And the dark mood will disappear and dissipate. And a joyful, bright spirit will come. That's the work of God in you, because it's his will for you to be joyful, even in hardships, troubles, and calamities like Paul and Silas. So what do I do? I tried to do this and I'm getting better, but take this. Set aside at least a few minutes in the morning, like when I get into the shower, I say, this is my time, go. I set my watch. Give thanks for 2 minutes. Oh, I'm kind of bored at the start. I don't know what to give thanks for. I'm kind of down, Lord, and dreading the day. I give thanks for the water. I give thanks for the shower, it's warm. And I'm grateful that there's a roof over my head. And I have a house and a home, and I have a wife who loves me. And all this trouble I'm facing maybe in the day, you're gonna be with me in it. And I'm gonna get victory over this mountain. I'm grateful that you've made me more than I conquered through him who loved me. I'm grateful that your mercies are new to me this morning. And great is thy faithfulness. I'm so grateful, Lord, that when I feel lonely in my life, you're with me always to the close of the age. I'm so grateful, Lord, that when I'm overwhelmed, you make me more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I'm so grateful that when I feel pain in my body, it reminds me of your sufferings on the cross for my salvation. I'm so grateful today that when I feel guilty, that by grace I've been saved through faith. I'm so grateful that it's through faith in Jesus Christ, not of my works, lest I should boast. I'm grateful for being a new creation and that you've already prepared good works for me to walk in today, and I get to walk in them with you. Oh, this is a great life. I'm not worried about these thorns, and even if I'm going to face death today, I'm so grateful, God, that you, God, are with me. So loved the world, so loved me, that I, believing on you, will not perish, but I'm going to have everlasting life. If I die today, I'm so grateful for that, because it's just my highway home to glory and joy in your face, in your presence, in your arms, in your embrace, in your glory. Isn't that a good way to live life? You know, you can listen to this sermon and say, check mark, very nice, it was a great one, and leave it and forget about it and go back to being sad and dark. I challenge you, if you do this every day and all day long and nonstop and with your spouse, your relationship's gonna be great with your spouse, with everybody else, that dark mood will lift. And in short time, God is gonna make you ride on the heights of the earth with joy singing within you, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your hearts when you give thanks. So remember, don't wait to feel great to be grateful. But be grateful first, and then you're going to feel great. For joy and thanksgiving go together like bosom buddies, okay? Joined at the hip, like two friends, the best of friends, like two peas in a pod. For wherever there is joy, there is a grateful heart. And wherever there is a grateful heart, there is joy. So let's keep at that together, giving all thanks to God through Jesus Christ for his mercies to us and salvation, until that day when we can say with David, Psalm 30, God, so grateful that you've now turned my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul might praise thee and not be silent. Oh, Lord my God, I will give thanks to you, be grateful to you forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called What is the Value of the Kingdom of God? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.